can't put this on YouTube. Welcome back to the channel. We have hit a whopping 42,000 subscribers. Look at that. Unbelievable. Thank you very much. I appreciate every single one of you for continuing to subscribe and watch. So to celebrate, I'm going to give you what you actually have come here for, which is for me to publicly embarrass myself. And have I got just the thing for you. I have dug up a 10-year-old video that is now unlisted because it's so shameful, called the Modern .NET Web Stack. I did this presentation over 10 years ago. It says 11 years ago here. We're going to watch this, see, has anything actually changed in the world of .NET? Have I changed? Has Visual Studio changed? What is... Are we stuck in some sort of time loop here? Who knows? But before I start, I obviously need to stick the .NET hat on. Thank you, .NET team, for sending me this one. My videos are obviously not spicy enough if I'm still getting gear. So let's begin. So here we go. This is going to be my first and probably last ever reaction video. I have not seen this for 10 years. I'm genuinely quite worried. Ready?
So I'd like to talk to you
today. Oh my God.
The technology behind the work we do at Medidata.
Look at the size of me.
I work in the Tokyo.
No, this is not the same person. Oh my God. And look, I've got all the tags. Like, this is 2014, sort of build your personal brand. You can all be like Scott Hanselman.
Office, but I sort of travel about. And
travel about, mate, yeah.
I'm on Twitter and have a blog if
bastard.
That's your sort of thing. .NET at Medidata is very important.
2012!
85% plus of our revenue came from .NET-based products. It's pretty important.
I can't put this on YouTube. I can't do it. Look at the size of me.
Pretty good place to work if you are a .NET developer.
Medidata was one of the coolest companies I've ever worked at.
The Azure credits,
if you have the chance to work at Medidata, highly recommend it.
ReSharper user, no question.
Next, he'll say Pluralsight. Pluralsight.
Pluralsight subscriptions. So if you want to watch the best .NET developers in the
nobody world, watches Pluralsight anymore, mate. It's all Dome Train.
And one of the best things to do is innovation time. So
innovation
similar
time.
To Google's 20% time.
I'm actually so serious
weeks,
about
twice
it.
Twice a year, you get 2 weeks of your own to do anything you like.
Sorry, look at the size of me.
And you can present the results at the end, and hopefully your work might end up in a product or a new product, or you never know.
You never know.
Let's crack on. Today we're going to build a web app called MediTwit. It's a Twitter clone, essentially, and it's just going to have a status update thing on the left.
48 minutes, Christ.
And we're going to show our status updates here. We're going to have some Google single sign-on. And within an hour, hopefully, from file new projects, we're going to put all this together and deploy it to the cloud in less than an hour, hopefully before the pizzas turn up.
Pizzas! We're going to build a whole app in an hour.
A bit of a challenge. There will be copying and pasting, though, so don't hold that against me. So, without further ado, let's crack on.
I'll be this, but, what is that? Windows.
If you have any questions?
Windows 8.1.
Okay, so we have here Visual Studio.
Premium. Visual Studio Premium. 2013.
Your hard disk space, I guess. So if we do a new project here, we're going to do a project called MediTwit. Explanatory.
Is he doing it? Is it actually going to do it?
Pop-up menu. This is called the one ASP.NET window.
The one ASP.NET window.
Of .NET projects inside one web project. You have the option to add unit tests. We're not going to actually do unit tests for this today, but the code we write should be testable. Hopefully, fingers crossed. So we hit OK, and we'll create our project. This will give us a nice template full of lots of useful stuff once it's finished. Takes a bit of time. Right, so we have a project here. First thing we want to do is upgrade all of the package dependencies, which we we can see here.
Look at this NuGet window. It was a separate window back then, wasn't it? It wasn't like embedded.
This will take a little bit of time. So in the meantime, we're going to set up our database that we're going to use for our app. We'll call this
SQL Server Management Studio. Which has not like changed that at all in over 10 years. Here. That's
mapping in it. Let's go back. Okay, I accept.
Wow.
Right, carry on. You should see on the right here it's doing some stuff to our references, blah, blah, blah. Normally with live coding, you skip this step, but...
yes, you would, mate. Yes, you would.
Set up project.
Look at this. Classic Visual Studio.
Come on. Takes a bit of time.
It's amazing.
Right.
I have to say, this is the Phil Hack era. NuGet came on to basically clone Ruby gems. That was the whole thing. Oh, it's beautiful. This was peak.net. Yeah.
Well, for some reason, we need to restart Visual Studio. That's due to the entity framework integration. Okay, so we should.
Do you remember Visual Studio 2013?
First thing we need to do is update.
It's got the menu items in capitals. They did this for Windows 8,
connection string to point to the database we've just created. So in webconfig here.
Webconfig. Webconfig.
Say goodbye. bye.
Where's appsettings.json?
We'll paste that one in there. If we start our app, we should...
So I still do this on all my projects. I still put SQL Express in. What a habit.
You should, hopefully, see something useful.
Firefox.
First compile's always a bit slow. Right, so we've got a nice template here. Bootstrap 3. Lovely jubbly.
Bootstrap 3. Lovely jubbly.
We want to use Google to sign in here. So if we stop our app and head to startup auth. This template supports Microsoft, Twitter, Facebook authentication. We just want the Google one, because everybody at Medidata uses Google accounts. So let's start the app again. Should be able to just refresh this page.
See, this whole thing is gone in the new templates.
Fingers crossed. Okay, we have our Google off, so we click Google. And we will be redirected to a page to confirm our Google details. So you can change your username or whatever. Hit register, and we're already signed in. If we check onto tables, still refresh. No. Oh yeah. Where's my tables gone?
He says. Come on. Oh, hang on. Oh, look at that. Look at this error. We go back to see.
So you can change your username or whatever. Hit register and we're already signed in. If we check our database, check onto tables, still refresh. No.
Come on, mate.
Where's my tables gone?
Where is it? Oh, there it is. Look at this. The yellow screen of death. Oh, brings me back.
Ooh, interesting. Okay, let's stop that again.
What's he doing?
The demo gods are not on my side today.
Right.
That's because I didn't refresh the page. Right, okay. Log off. Log in.
Come on. Yeah, man, this was a big deal. This was getting the entity framework tables in was a really big deal at the time, because previously it was all .NET was all DBA world, right? You had to give your scripts to the DBAs to run, build your schema.
Commented out. That would be why,
mate. Yeah, it's commented out.
Again. if you've got a commented out connection string, it just creates a local file database, which is obviously what it was using instead of our proper database.
Obviously.
Okay, let's try that again. Log off. Log in. Google.
He's going for it. Can he log in? Can you log in?
Should ask us to register again.
Can you do it?
Right, hang on, if we refresh this.
Let's get the tables.
Okay, we're in business. It's created some tables for us, including our user. This is great, but for our Twitter clone, we actually need the full name and the email address of the user. We can get this from Google. It just requires a little bit of fiddling about with our code. So you could probably fall asleep for this next bit.
Here's one I copy and pasted earlier.
Stick that in there. Information. Stick that in there. On the account controller. You can Google to find out how to do all this. And normally you would want to set this up before doing a demonstration to everyone from people.
Yes, you would, mate. Yes, you would. So I was just doing a tech talk where I was, copying and pasting stuff from one screen to another. Line.
And we can see here this code is getting emails and identities from Google's OAuth system.
Okay, this bit's really boring. Let's skip some of that. Where's it going to do some UI? Yeah? Oh, here we go. This looks promising.
Is remove all of this ASP.NET advertising.
Yes, let's remove the advertising.
If we head to the home controller here, we can delete these two actions that we don't need anymore.
Oh, we still do this. We still do this with the MVC
templates. If we head to the home views, we can also delete those corresponding views like that. In the layout, you can see that ReSharper has started telling me that things are disappearing. It's highlighting them in red, so that's great. So you can those, they don't exist.
Kind of ReSharp.
Anymore. Let's update the branding on this page, and we'll do this MIDI twit. Exactly what we want. Application name here. And in the footer, MIDI twit.
MIDI twit. Nice. Look at that, Twitter clone.
And then on the home page, we want to delete all of this advertising junk and replace it with a very simple bit of Bootstrap code. And delete that, stick Bootstrap in here. And we have two columns. If you're familiar with Bootstrap, it's divided into 12 columns. So there's two columns here, each six.
If you're familiar with Bootstrap, it's divided into 12 columns.
Mini sub-columns wide. Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. Fingers crossed.
Should have it debranded.
Debranded.
Come on. There you go. Perfect. That looks a bit better than before.
Oh, hacker. Okay,
let's stop the site. Next step we need to do is create a database table for our twits. Here is a DB context, database context, which has been given to us by this template.
This was so revolutionary at the time for .NET guys. This code first. Come on.
Allows you to access database tables, etc. First thing we want to do is move this to another file because we don't like mixing classes in one file.
The entity framework code first stuff was just a total rip-off of Rails Active Record. It's beautiful. Because previously for entity framework you had to do XML stuff. It sucks.
And our model class is going to look a little bit like this. So we'll have an ID column, which is a GUID, and a primary key.
It's still good code. This is still good.
We'll have a user, which is a foreign key, and it's required, and the twit content, which is simply a string. If we run, hang on, we don't want to run the app yet. We need to add our table to our DB context.
Yeah.
In here.
Oh, okay.
So we can access all the twits in the database using this collection here.
Not tweets, twits.
If we do run the app now. We're going to have an error. The schema of the database has changed.
Schema of the database has changed.
So if we log in, the reason we have to log in every time is because it doesn't talk to the database until we actually do a connection to the database. Here we go. So the model backing the database context has changed. Consider using code first to update the database. That's exactly what we're going to do.
Come on. First come on, 2013, Ed. Let's go.
Into orbit again. Create new DB.
So he's creating a new DB instead of running the migration. So what is he doing?
An entity framework has hooked into this NuGet package manager.
NuGet package manager console. This was this PowerShell thing that before we had the .NET CLI, you had to use this for .NET framework.
Inside Visual Studio. So we want to enable code-first migrations. So we type enable migrations. And migrations are very similar to, if you've done Ruby on Rails, very similar to Active Record migrations. So here we've got a folder called migrations, which is great. If we create our first migration, we'll call it initial. Like
that. Add migration, initial.
You can see what it creates here. It's given us a class with an up migration, which versions up the database, creates this table, creates our twits table, with a primary key, a foreign key, and an index. And it's created this class purely based on our model definition here, which is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right at the bottom here, we've got the down migration if you want to version down your database schema. And it drops the foreign keys, drops the index, drops the tables. It does everything in reverse of the up. To run these migrations automatically when the application's running, there's a magic little bit of code here.
Good boy. Good boy.
Again, this is all...
Set initializer. So migrate database to the latest version.
This just says migrate the database to the latest version every time you start the app. So you don't have to run SQL server update scripts or get anybody involved. The app can update its own schema.
This, in .NET, was the moment that DBAs died. I think it's...
Pretty cool. Now if we log in, we can do Google again. Register. Okay. And if we load this table, so we can see that it's created a twits table for us, which is pretty cool, with the three columns. However, we're going to need an extra column here for the created at date.
Okay, let's skip a bit. I'm not going to do two migrations. I don't need to watch that. What do you reckon? This is good.
Service, identity service, like so. And then so in the method, create twit for current.
So he's
user.
Creating a twit service here, which is obviously going to have to...
We can update the code here to get the current user ID, query the database for that user that matches the current user ID.
Async and await, boys, still there.
Before. Now we want to access this twit service from the home controller, but to do this again, we're going to extract an interface from it. Done. Head to the home controller. And we can do something like private read only, iTwit service.
He's got to do the dependency injection thing, and I have written that line of code thousands of times in my life. I absolutely love that line of code. And it's going to
service.
Use the autocomplete to auto-generate the...
If we're using a dependency injection framework, such as Unity or an inject or things like that,
if you're using a dependency injection framework such as Unity, do you remember that? Or nginx?
We would automatically have an instance of twit service injected into this home controller when the home controller is instantiated. However, we're not using a dependency injection framework.
What?
So we're going to have to do this with a manual.
Yeah, because MVC at the time didn't have a built-in one, and it was a bit of a pain to wire up a dependency injection framework. So obviously I skipped this in the demo and just did poor man's DI straight into the
constructor here.
Parameterless
and we'll do
constructor.
What is known as poor man's dependency injection.
Mark C, man. I'm sorry. I said it.
Once you hook up a dependency injection framework to something like this, you can just delete this constructor and everything else will continue as normal. So we need to create the form here. So if you remember, we had on the left a text box with a button and the twits on the right. To do this, let's create a view model which represents our UI.
A view model.
So we're going to create a view model called home index view model. And in this view model, very simple, there's only one field, Twitch content. We're going to be a bit better than Twitter here by supporting 141. Characters instead of 140.
Comedy!
So, you know, we'll be millionaires soon, IPO and all that. And then in the home controller, we want to pass an instance of this view model through to the view. So the good, nice thing about views in MVC.NET is that they can be strongly typed, which means there is a backing model for the view. So if we head to home index, we can just stick model home index view model.
You still write this code, by the way. This is still decent.
We can access
the MVC ways of use model that's been strongly bound. The
there's no guessing the magic strings or anything. It's pretty good. So we save that there. Under MediTwit here, under the logo, let's put a little message in for unauthenticated users. So if you're not authenticated, it's going to say sign in to Twit.
Sign in to Twit. That's pretty good.
But obviously, if you're authenticated, let's stick in a form. So this is using an HTML helper, which builds the form tags for us.
This was HTML helpers was so good. I should do a rant about how tag helpers was the beginning of the end for sane MVC. This was peak.
We have a text area for the Twit content, a validation message for the Twit content, and a Twit button, which is nice. So let's that's a lot of work. So let's
notice you can see the difference between the C# and the HTML. There's no HTML tags or attributes that's not an actual valid piece of HTML. So we're not trying to replicate Angular directives in server-side rendered tag helpers. There's definitely a video coming on.
If it's actually working or not.
What's he doing?
Right. So, click Twit. It appears to do a post. It's posting even though it's blank, which is not what we want, because in the view model, we have required as a data attribute.
Yeah.
To enforce required things, we can add a reference to jQuery client-side validation.
jQuery client-side validation. This for us.
The bundles here is .NET MVC's asset bundling. Very similar to, again, Rails' asset pipeline.
Asset bundling. This is missing. This is missing from ASP.NET Core. It was so good. Built-in server-side minimization and bundling.
You can specify CSS and JavaScript and bundle it all together. Minify it and do lots of stuff to improve performance, which is pretty cool. So let's test out this validation, but we can probably just refresh. And hopefully Twit does, the Twit field is required. That's fantastic. And we should even have a length check. Yep, so we can't submit the form if it's too long.
This is still good stuff. This is HTMX style server side good stuff. It's still good.
We can't submit the form if there's nothing in it, but if we type something we can press Twit, and it appears to be doing a post, which is awesome. But we're not picking up that post yet, so let's add a post action to the home controller here. In there you can see here that this is the same, but it's HTTP post on index. It takes the view model, which is automatically bound from the fields on the screen. We do one more check to see if the model state is valid. Because we've been doing client-side JavaScript checks, just in case JavaScript has been turned off, we want to check again on the server if it's actually valid or not. And then we call the Twit service here with create Twit current user with the Twit content and redirect back to the index. So, fingers crossed.
That's good code. By the way, I still write stuff like that. That is good. Shit. That's good.
Come on. Right.
Come on.
Do hello world. Hit Twit. I should do a post through. We should be able to check the database here. There you go. Hello world has been added to the database, which is pretty cool. And we haven't written any SQL yet.
We haven't written any SQL yet. Yeah, it's an ORM, buddy.
Next up, we want to display these in the UI on the right here. So let's add a method to our Twit service to get all the Twits.
Right, okay, come on. Okay, so
we just created. Fantastic.
It's going to do some UI.
So hello world has been added to the screen. We stop the app. Let's make this a bit prettier. We need it in a box of some sort.
CSS. Let's go.
Here's our CSS file.
10 years. 10 years ago.
We can do something still doing CSS. Than CSS these days. Visual Studio now supports less.
Visual Studio now supports less.
So if we just rename that file.
Well, less was better than SAS. I'm sorry.
Automatically doubles up. We've got the less on the left and the CSS that's being compiled from it on the right. CSS less is awesome because it supports nested classes. So you can do something like this where inside a twit class you've got other properties, which in raw CSS you can't do. If we save this, you can see that it creates the equivalent CSS on the right, which is awesome.
Bring back less. What happened to less?
Run the app again.
Less CSS. Check
out our styles. Is everyone still following? Yeah? Going a bit fast? Got pizza on the way, so we need to get through this. But it's shaping up, so... Oh, no, CSS hasn't loaded. Let's refresh. There you go. So we've got it all in a box. But we want to make this a little bit more Web 2.0. So let's stick some rounded corners in here.
We need to make this a little bit more Web 2.0. So let's stick some rounded corners in here.
Nice border radius.
Nice border radius.
We save that there. Oh, it's magically appeared. This as the CSS is automatically updated, and this is thanks to a feature in Visual Studio 2013 called a browser link.
Browser link.
If we move this over here, and we move Visual Studio.
I thought I was so cool.
If we click this button, stuff. All the browsers which are connected to the site automatically reload. It's pretty cool. This even works with internet.
Whoa, was that Windows 8? That was a Windows 8.8. That was Windows 8, not 8.1.
So we can load this here. Ooh. And this is the refresh button. Will automatically reload everything on the screen, which is nice of it. Which is pretty cool for testing out changes. So, for example, we can do test here, save, press a button, and all the browsers have automatically reloaded.
We have to go back.
It's a bit nicer if you have multiple monitors with a different browser on each one. But in the meantime, you can have a look at a mini one. There's also another cool feature here. Enabled by a plugin called Web Essentials, which you can see floating around on the
bottom.
If we click inspect, you can float around your HTML in your browser.
Wait, hang on a minute. Web Essentials used to be able to do that, couldn't it? Look at that. You can link to Visual Studio instead of developer tools.
And in your IDE, it actually highlights the stuff, the markup corresponding. This is magic as far as I'm concerned. It's pretty cool. It works in every browser. And it's pretty cool. So if you're debugging your markup, you can get it highlighted straight in the IDE.
I just got a laugh out of the audience. Come on.
So anyway, that's enough of fun. Enough of that fun. Next up, we need to show the pictures, the gravatars of our users. So to do that, we're going to, rely on a nice package.
We'll skip this bit. Here.
Come on.
It's refreshing.
There you go. Right, I've got my picture.
Oh, my nice. God. Test. Look at me.
Twit. Let's come up. Very nice. Cool. So we've done a very basic display of the twit. It's probably worth this sort of stage to do a sanity check on the queries that we're making to the database. We're using the entity framework ORM. And some people have an allergic reaction to ORMs because they don't trust the queries that are made.
People still have an allergic reaction to ORMs 10 years old, Ed.
The database. So the only way to actually figure out if it's decent or not is to properly profile it. And to profile it, we're going to do if this actually works. Okay, let's just try it down here instead. Install package. Glimpse. So this
glimpse.
Is a package called Glimpse. No, it doesn't work.
Glimpse. Mm.
We do not support proxies with the HTTPS scheme. Come on, MIDI Data Network. What's wrong with you?
What's he doing?
Let's try the Wi-Fi.
Do you remember that Wi-Fi picker? Amazing. What's he going to do? It doesn't work.
I think I'm going to stop using Nuget. I used to like it, but not anymore.
you never stopped using to get to do. What's he going to do? What's he doing? Is he going to restart Visual Studio? Because it's crashed? Kind of?
Okay, let's try something else.
What's he doing?
Oh dear.
Why did you upload this?
This has happened once before and magically it starts working again.
Come on. Install Glimpse, because Glimpse is awesome. What's he doing?
Install package Glimpse, huh?
Oh my god. Hey!
Magic. Look at that. Right. Let's try Glimpse.
What's he doing?
EF6, for Entity Framework 6. Doesn't work. Okay. Fine.
Okay, this is so cringe. I'm definitely going to be skipping this.
This works.
So he restarted Visual Studio and managed to get Glimpse to install.
So at the bottom here, we can see some timings of the request.
This is so good, man.
Which is pretty cool. See what happened on the server, what happened on the client.
This is peak.
If we click this button, we get a nice pop-up which shows the SQL that we wanted to find out to see if our queries are any good. You can see it's done two SQL
so good.
Queries.
They need to bring this back.
First one here is getting the list of twits by the looks of it. And here it's another query to actually get the user information, which implies that our code is doing a separate request for every user in this list. So if we had 10 users, we'd be doing 10 requests. That's not good. So obviously we want to add a database join to bring in all the users at the same time. So in this get all twits ordered by date, we can go in.
What's he doing?
Twits.
Include.
Do not user. Lovely jubbly.
So, lovely jubbly. So he's done an entity framework join there just to demonstrate entity framework at the time. Hasn't he? It's going to work.
We should hopefully see, if we refresh it, that there's been one query and it's done the database join. So that's awesome. So we've optimised our front-end queries. Now we're ready for the final step of this, which is to do real-time updates of these twits on the right.
Real-time updates?
To do this, God help me, hopefully this works. We are going to use a package called SignalR.
SignalR!
That's quick.
SignalR!
SignalR is a real-time library written by Microsoft, guys. SignalR is pretty damn cool.
SignalR!
There's a couple of steps we need to do to
SignalR.
Get SignalR working in this.
SignalR.
Head down here. In startup, we need to add that line of code. In our front end, we need references to the JavaScript.
Yeah.
In the scripts here, so we'll stick that JavaScript reference in there. We also need to create a hub class. So if we call this in the hubs folder, we'll call it TwitHub. This hub is what all the connected clients will connect to. And we have one I made earlier.
This is all the same. So none of this has changed.
And this is a signal.
Over 10 years. Hub. This is all the same.
It's
still
SignalR from our client.
SignalR is
we
magic.
We need to do this in JavaScript. So we're going to add JavaScript for the home view.
Is he doing live updates
index.js.
In this demo?
To get that to load, we need to add a reference to it. Here. We can update our JavaScript with a bit of jQuery magic.
Oh.
So this jQuery here is connecting to the TwitHub, and this matches this string here. And we defined a new method called newTwit, which simply takes a string and writes it to the console of the browser. So we can do this to confirm that the server is actually notifying the clients.
Yeah.
To actually notify the clients, we need to create another service called the hub notification service. The hub notification service.
I must have rehearsed this so many times.
Which wraps a nasty bit of static code here. and isolates the static nastiness from everything else. So to use this elsewhere, we obviously want to extract an interface. And because it doesn't actually have to work against a hub, it could be an email notification service or whatever. We can just call it iNotification service. And we have an interface created for us there.
Yeah. Yeah.
We want to actually call this in the Twit service. So again, we will add it to the constructor. Private. Mm-hmm. Read-only.
Private read-only.
Notification service. That. We'll have to update, because we're doing the poor man's dependency injection, we're going to have to update our constructor here.
Yeah.
Hub notification service.
Yeah. Just use dependency injection.
Now we have our notification service passed through to our Twit service. After we've saved our data, we also want to notify every connected client about it. So we can call notification service notify new Twit. At this point, you've probably noticed this stuff, this async and await stuff. This signifies that this is a synchronous method. And ideally, you should be able to run as many of these concurrently as possible.
Yeah.
So these two methods, if each of them took 100 milliseconds to call this method, would take a total of 200 milliseconds. But you can optimize this by creating a couple of tasks.
This.
So if you change that to a save task, change this to a notify task.
Yeah, parallel.
You can run both of them at once, which would half the
execution time. Dude, we still do this. So good.
If you're relying on lots of external web service calls, you're probably going to want to run as many of these in parallel as possible. So we've created two tasks
and
run them together. End result is the same. Technically, there's probably a bit of a race condition here where the client could be notified of a new Twit before it's been saved to the database.
Correct.
But we'll forget about that for now. Now, in theory, if we run the app, we can fire up another browser.
Yeah.
Is it like Chrome this time?
Windows 8.
Sit down there. Do the tools, developer tools. No, where's it gone? Tools, developer tools. We can see the console. Let's bring this guy over here.
Bring this guy over here. Come on, do it. I'm excited. Testing.
In theory, we should see console logged here. So this browser has been notified that a Twit has been created.
Beautiful.
Now we just need to load the Twit and display it at the top of the list. To do that, let's extract the UI for the Twit into a partial view, which means we can use it elsewhere.
It's going wild.
Want to take this snippet of HTML and make it reusable. To do that, let's create a partial view.
This is a lost art. This is a lost art of server-side rendered.
Twit. Mm-hmm. Not Twit.
Twit, yeah. Create a partial.
And we'll say that the model of this view is a Twit, funnily enough. Paste in our code.
So good.
And we need to update this to refer to the model that has been passed through to this partial.
It's so good. It's so good.
And then back on the...
So good. We have to go back list, guys, to server-side rendered.
Link to that partial. This just means that for every Twit in Twits, we've rendered this partial with that Twit.
With that Twit.
That Twit. So that's nice.
Twits. This was a good demo, and only like 20 people ever saw it.
Time. So again, let's head to the Twit service, and we'll add one more method, which is called get single Twit in there.
Get single Twit.
And again, we'll extract, pull this up to the interface, so we can reuse it elsewhere.
Yeah.
This just, from the ID, finds the Twit by the ID and returns it. In the home controller, we need to create a partial view, which will be loaded in the background via Ajax. And a partial view...
He just said Ajax. Actually said Ajax.
The entire page. This takes a GUID ID, gets a single Twit from the Twit service with the partial, which is exactly what we want. In our column, to refer to this in JavaScript, we obviously need to add an ID. And then final step, in index.js, when we've received the notification of the Twit...
Yeah. We
can do an Ajax call, which gets calls the Twit partial view and adds the resulted HTML to the top of this div. If we were writing a single page application entirely in JavaScript for the front end, data here would
probably actually be just a JSON representation of the twit itself, and you can directly insert that into whatever front-end templating system you're using.
You could do it there. You could have sent the parcel.
So, this should be it.
Should be it, he says. Like
that. Chrome. Come on. Right, so, moment of truth. On the right, it should appear.
It's going to do it.
Testing,
it's
testing. Moment
of truth.
There you go. It's magically loaded up on the right. And we can go, okay.
Look at that.
Twitch. And we've done it. That's that's the code. Final step is that we want to put this in the cloud somewhere.
In so the cloud.
Let people use it. To do that, we're going to use Windows Azure. We can create directly from Visual Studio.
He's pushing straight to Azure from Visual Studio.
The location hosted will be
Stop
in
it.
Ireland, West Europe. It will allow us to create a new database.
Man, I was shilling Azure in 2013.
Great. This will take a bit of time. Has anybody used Azure before? Yeah. It's pretty cool now. It's all integrated into Visual Studio. We don't even need to head to the website. So we can click OK.
It's cool now because it's all
you'll
integrated.
See this set up all of our published settings for us. It will even update our database connection string, which is really nice of it. And all we have to do is hit publish.
Where's the database going
to
be?
You can see sort of some
local DB, I guess.
Magic happening here where it's deploying to the server. It's loaded it up. And we see meditwit.azurewebsites.net. Come on, compile. Come on. There you go, and we're in business. You can click login, Google. Oh, Japanese, that's nice. register.
Japanese.
And we're in business. So test.
No, go away.
And now, to get an extra slice of pizza, who wants to be the first person to try and log in and add a twit from their machine? Got a laptop, got a tablet.
The only twit is you, sir. Lose some ways.
It should be live. We should be able to see it here. The address is meditwit.azurewebsites.net.
Look at the size of me.
It's a race.
It's like waddling.
Oh! Spiros, well done, mate.
Hey!
I want to get an extra slice. Your second. You have half a slice if you're second.
Who's next? Anybody else? Or is he just going to sit there? Look at the size of me. I do look younger now, maybe. Hey!
Second slice for you. Right, that's me done. Did we get it under an hour? It's 8 o'clock. Hey! Perfect, right. Thank you, everyone. If you have any questions or anything, grab me over pizzas, and I can talk about any of the stuff. What we did was build just a vertical slice of the .NET web stack using a little bit of everything to create one single piece of.
I tried so hard. That was kind of emotional. 11 years ago even, I tried so hard. Maybe I was a tryhard, that was it. And maybe the problem was I didn't have the .NET hat. Yeah, that's why nobody cared. But thank you for caring, if you're still here and you've been watching all of this. It really does mean a lot to me. We're going to keep going with this channel, maybe do some sort of weekly shows or something. I don't know, I'm still thinking about what to do, but I do appreciate you watching. Hopefully that was enough public embarrassment for one day. It certainly was enough for me. Take care.